Blog Talk Radio.
Look what you've done. How could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots that run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can see you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see. You were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can see you digging all my roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me. You spoke your truth.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am here to welcome you all tonight to Wounded No More for this Thursday, March the 10th, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and to write on, and get ready to receive your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, Apostle Cook. I appreciate that introduction, and I appreciate that song. That song blesses me every time I listen to that. That's what this show is all about what God has done and doing in our lives so that we are no longer wounded. We are in a place of renewal and refreshment. And tonight, I want to talk to you all about unbelief. And we can't talk about unbelief without talking about faith. But we get a lot. God was dealing with me about this subject a couple of weeks ago. As we go through many levels of transition and growth and maturity, our faith gets dealt with. I mean, he says, you know, you need a little bit more faith in this area. Or he starts exposing what we think we believe and we really don't believe. And I mean, he's a God that wants to be in relationship with us, but we sometimes get caught into, I know I do, being transactional. Everything's a transaction. You know, do this and you get that, do this and you do get this. You know, and it's like, that's not a relationship. That's a transaction. That's like me putting my bank card into an ATM and I get money out. And that's not the kind of relationship God wants us to have. And many times our faith or our trust in God, because you hear me talk about trust as well tonight, is getting dealt with. I mean, we're getting dealt with. And these issues of growth that we go through that's forming our character, he's going to always deal with us about our belief and our faith. And, of course, you all know that I like to read the word and let the word do the work. And that's where he started dealing with me with it in the scripture. But, of course, this lesson is to encourage you, to build you up, to strengthen you. It's not to convict you. The word convicts you. I don't need to convict you. The word convicts you. The Holy Spirit corrects us lovingly, not punitively, not to just correct us for punishment, but for correction to grow and for correction so that we can be developed in our character and in areas of our soul. So I'll tell you how this all came about. There were some decisions that I had to make. There's always a narrative to the things that I'm teaching, but I always ask God, is this going to help others? Because everything that he deals with me about is not always for the group. But today, he said I could teach this and they'd get more understanding out of it as well. As you know, the word cuts coming and going, so it's two-edged. So it's going to cut me as I deliver it. But he was dealing with me a couple weeks ago with some decisions I had to make, and I have a tendency to waver sometimes or procrastinate, which in my interpretation is unbelief, to procrastinate, not being forgetful or, you know, I'm not going to even call it demonic. There's usually some type of fear or wavering when I procrastinate. There's something going on in my perspective, in my soul, right? And it's off. And so I was praying one day about it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, Lord, this, and this. And he brought me to Mark 9. I heard the scripture about, you know, the man that came to Jesus and wanted him to heal his daughter, his son. And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. So I had to read it in context. I'm going to read this to you in context, and it's out of the book of Mark. That was the first scripture he brought to me. And then there are two or three others that he just began to unfold about my issue and why I was struggling with unbelief at this time or why I wasn't moving in faith because I had gotten so – it was a condition. I really believe it's a condition. And I couldn't understand in my natural mind why I was doing this. And I said, Lord, this is an area of the soul. Shine light on this so I can understand what's going on. So he brought me to this scripture first. I'm going to read to you Mark 9, verses 14 through 24. And I am reading, you know how I like to read different editions. I'll read the Amplified. But if I want to highlight another thought or process or insight, I'm going to go to the Common English Bible as well. And I go to different, you know, just to highlight and emphasize certain points. So I'm going to start with the Amplified. When they came back to the other nine disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes questioning and arguing with them. Immediately when the entire crowd saw Jesus, they were startled and began running up to greet him. He asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd replied to him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him unable to speak." So he was mute. He was deaf. And whenever it seizes him intending to do harm, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. "I told your disciples to drive it out. They couldn't do it." He replied, "Oh, unbelieving," this is Jesus saying, "Oh, unbelieving, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the demonic spirit saw him, and he saw Jesus, immediately it threw the boy into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he answered, since childhood. And the demon has often thrown him into fire and into water, intending to kill him. He said, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, you say to me, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out with a desperate, piercing crying, say, I do believe, and help me overcome my unbelief. So there's a lot happening in this narrative. You know, he's bringing his son to be healed by the disciples, and I guess they didn't believe enough or saw the condition of the young boy and were maybe dumbfounded by it. But Jesus said, you know, O faithless generation, how long I have to put up with you? That sentiment right there is how I felt, even though the Lord is very gentle and kind and merciful and patient with me, I sometimes feel like he gets frustrated with me because he wants me to see something so plainly in front of my eyes. And I allow distraction and different things to get in the way, wavering, you know, or just not just focusing in what the Lord has said. And I believe that there are times that many of us go through this, and you may not be struggling with distraction. You may have forgotten what the word says, or you may have allowed yourself to believe something that's not even the word, based on a generational, you know, dysfunction, or based on, you know, something that you're reading that's not the word of God. So you have to remember, get, you know, pull down every stronghold and thing that creates levels of unbelief. Now, when I read part of this in the Common English Bible, how they brought the child to Jesus. This is how it reads in this case. It's the Common English Bible, and so it reads a little bit different, a little bit plainer. Someone from the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son to you since he has a spirit that doesn't allow him to speak. Whenever it overpowers him, it throws him into a fit. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens. So I spoke to your disciples to see if they could throw it out, but they couldn't." And so let's skip down. And he said they brought him to Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it, you know, began to throw the boy down. "How long has this been going on?" Jesus asked the father, and he told him since he was a child. Now this says, Jesus said to him, "If you can do anything," this is what the man said. Jesus said to him, "If you can do anything, all things are possible for those who have faith." And at the boy's father cried out, "I have faith, and help my lack of faith." Now, some versions say, "Help my trust, help me to trust you, help me to trust you, help me to overcome my unbelief." But the reason why I wanted to read this is because he questioned if you can do anything. So you see how the man was still saying, "You know, I heard about your reputation, but I don't know if it's true or not, but if you can do anything," and Jesus was taken aback. "What do you mean if I can do anything? All things are possible." And that's how he was talking to me that day. That's how the Lord was talking to me, kind of like matter-of-factly saying, "All I asked you to do was to believe. You had one thing to do. You had one job. You need to just believe." He said, "When you begin to believe, then you can walk out the things that I'm telling you to do, and you can apply them in your life. They're easy. Just do this, this, and this. You're complicating it. You're overthinking it. You're analyzing it." And I always know procrastination and overanalyzing things, for me, in my case, I can't speak for anyone else, is a signal, an indication of unbelief. I'm struggling with something. So I wasn't trying to, you know, hide how I was feeling. I said, "Lord, I know I don't believe, and I don't know why, what's going on." So then he took me to James 2, 14 through 26. And the scripture, the verse that I heard about was, you know, that one about faith, to do things without, is that the one? Let's just read it. because he would give me a verse, and then I would go and look up the context of the whole context of the chapter and read it. But I'm starting at verse 14. What is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. But can't go around saying I have faith, and then, you know, just like you're just talking, you don't really believe it. And so it creates this false sense of, I don't know, it's like it just feels fake, and you know it is. So this is what he's addressing. So you say, he said, if you're talking, but you don't have anything to show for it, you're just saying, just have faith, have faith. And it's like, enough of the talk. Let's, you know, God gave us faith because there's something that's to show for it. And if a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to him, go in peace with my blessing, just have faith, keep warm and find yourself, but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So, two, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself inoperative and ineffective. So you can say to yourself, you can say to others, have faith, but if God has put you in a position where you can meet a need, in this case, meet a need, or give somebody an idea or walk out or do something, there's going to be something to follow it, follow through with whatever God is giving you to do, whatever he's telling you to have faith and belief for. And in my case, it was. It was something that I was like, well, I don't know, I should do it. You know, I was just going back and forth. Even when it comes to your level of prayer, your level of study, because you believe God has told you to do something, you're to seek out wisdom, you're to seek out how to apply it in your life, you're to seek knowledge so that you can walk it. I mean, there's things that we're supposed to be doing, not just saying I have faith or I'm full of faith and there's nothing to work. You don't get into works, but you also have to know, even to forgive people, that is an act of faith, to know that I believe what the word says about forgiveness. I know how important it is, so I'm going to fix myself to not fix myself, but I'm going to be determined to forgive. I'm going to take baby steps. I'm going to study about how important it is, forgiveness. I'm going to get this stuff out of my heart. God, ask God to heal me so I can, you know, whatever it is. So that in itself is maybe a tangible issue, not just about giving somebody and meeting a need, but even your thought processes to get healed, to go somewhere and get counseling or dealing with being knowledgeable about our dysfunction and families and things like that and mental health and all this, right? Because you know that God is a healer, you got to put something behind what he said you to do to have faith. He said get knowledgeable about it so you can come against it in the natural and spiritual. So that's faith. That's your faith in action. But someone may say, you claim to have faith, and I'm in verse 18, and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can, and I will show you my faith by works. That is, by what I do. You believe that God is one. You do well to believe that. The demons also believe that, and they shudder and bristle in awe, filled terror, that they have seen his wrath. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish, spiritually shallow people, that faith without good works is useless? Just like, it reminds me of 1 Corinthians about how we do all these things, but we don't have love. It's useless. We're noisy. Was our father Abraham not shown to be justified by the works of obedience, which expressed his faith when he offered Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice to God? You see that his faith was working together with his works. And as a result of his works, his faith was completed, reaching its maturity when he expressed his faith through obedience. I love that, because really that's what God was saying to me that day. He said, you need to be developed in this area. And if you don't walk your faith out in this area, you're going to be arrested in your development. So you need to walk it out. I'm with you. I've gone before you. I can show you how to do it. It's not complicated. Take one step at a time. And I love how this is saying. You will be complete and you will be mature in your faith. So you see how we go from faith to faith and we grow in faith, but it's not without doing. It's not without us putting our feet to the ground and walking according to our faith. So we have to continually do that in order for our faith to be developed. And our faith and love work together. So our love walk has to be developed. Many times when we start talking about our love walk, God is saying, okay, those two things go together. So usually, you know, they're cogs that are intertwined and they work together. So faith works by love. And that's a whole nother lesson. But it's like it's so easy to get really busy doing things and getting busy in ministry and task-oriented society. We live in that. We want to be busy, but we also want to be productive, and we want to say, okay, I can check the box type of society. I checked the box. I did this. I did that. Okay, now what? That in itself, like I said earlier, is transactional in nature. That's not transformative, and that's not relational. So when you talk about your unbelief and your faith and how they work together, there's many things going on at the same time because God has created it that way, and he knows what it's going to take for us to get to the next level. So as I'm reading this scripture about how to overcome our faith and overcome my unbelief and begin to trust God, he deals with me about doing all of this stuff, thinking all this stuff, reading all this stuff, don't matter. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, all I asked you to do was one thing, and I asked you to believe me. And when you really begin to believe on the word and meditate on the word, it takes a couple of seconds just to decide to believe. God will begin to deal with you about how to walk. Is that going to look like on the other side in your everyday life, depending on what you're believing for and what you're seeking for? And, you know, people said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's like doing things the way God wants you to do them. Seek his righteousness. Seek his way of doing things. And that doesn't mean sitting behind a desk reading Bible scriptures all day or not being able to really reach people and reach souls, however God is leading you in your family, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your ministry, in your business, and the marketplace. Okay? So as I'm reading the scripture, I'm being convicted, and he's redirecting my mind and thought. And God does talk to me as I'm reading the scripture. Sometimes I'll push the scripture away and begin to just listen down the downloads, the rainbow that God is just downloading and expanding the scripture. And it's helping me come up out of this place that I've been in with my love walk, with my faith, and levels of unbelief. So I realized that this was where he wanted to grow me up in this season right now. I'm in. And he said, I want you struggling with things that you should have gotten a season ago, 10 years ago, because you got it, but you just forgot. Let me take you back to the word. So as I'm finishing up James, I'm going to go to Romans 14. Was our father Abraham not shown to be justified by the works of obedience, which expressed his faith when he offered Isaac his son as a sacrifice? You see that his faith was working together with his works, and as a result of his works, his faith was completed, reaching its maturity when he expressed his faith through obedience. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and this faith was credited to him by God as righteousness. And as a conformity to his will, he was called the friend of God. you see that a man believer is just justified by works and not by faith alone. That is, by acts of obedience, a born-again believer reveals his faith. And in the same way, Rahab, the prostitute, just justified by works too. And when she received the Hebrew spies as guests and protected them and sent them away to escape by a different route. So this whole chapter in James 2, it reminds me of Hebrews 11. It gives all those different pioneers of faith throughout the whole word, from Abraham to Rahab, Moses, and so on and so forth. So they weren't stagnant. They did something because they believed. I think it's important to understand the character of God so that if you realize you don't really believe God says who he is, sometimes that's where somebody is struggling. Or you don't really believe God says he will do this. That's where some people struggle. And some people struggle with understanding the character of God, the accurate character of God and not what we think based on bad theology. We need to get in the Word so we can understand the character of God. One time he had me studying that, so like a couple of months, this was years ago, and I was like, okay, it's good to understand all these different, things of God, his character and stuff, and I really didn't understand why I was studying it at one point. He said, because you need to know who I am when you pray. You need to know who I am when you're lifting me up. You need to know who I am when you're working according to me, because that will emanate from you. When you know who I am, you're intimate with me, you can express that to other people, and they know that you're real. Not that I just heard, Jesus, I read somewhere that Jesus is this and that, but I don't really know him. So to study the character of God, I think I had a book in it. And when I put the book down and came back to it, I realized, okay, so this has to be my whole motive when I'm studying it, is to draw me closer to the Lord. Not to make me, Sister Big Head so I can do this and that and think I'm all this, but to get closer to him so that his purposes and will is intertwined in every area of my soul. And once I got that, I started to really enjoy the study. But I'm telling you, it was such a humbling type of studying, because I realized that the sovereignty of God and the awesomeness of God, we can't really wrap our heads around it. But when you begin to understand why God has you do certain things in faith, whether it's studying or feeding the poor or whatever he's telling you to do, or minister to your neighbors who say they're atheists or whatever it is, you have to know he's with you in it. He's gone before you in it, and it's going to grow you up and develop you. So let's go to the book of Romans. I'm just reading two little scriptures here. Romans 14, verses 22 to 23. Now, this is the last verse that the Lord gave me as he was dealing with me. Keep the belief that you have to yourself. It's between you and God. People are blessed who don't convict themselves by the things they approve. But those who have doubts are convicted if they go ahead and eat. Now, see, in this scripture, I'll give you a little background. People were trying to convict other people of what they ate. And the thing that was being taught in Romans, Paul was saying, be more mature spiritually, or don't be a stumbling block, don't eat in front of your brother if they don't believe in eating certain things, and so on and so forth. But it all boiled down to not doing things, to do things without faith is sin. And this is what he also brought to me too. But those who have doubts are convicted if they go ahead and eat. In this case, if they go ahead and eat, it was about what they're eating, because they aren't acting on the basis of faith. Everything that isn't based on this faith is sin. So that was the context of the scripture, but God was using that to help me understand, going back to James, how you're doing all this stuff, you're saying you have faith, but then you're doing it in the vacuum because you really don't believe. So we got to go back to and address these areas in your soul where you don't believe or trust. And why don't you trust and why don't you believe? Sometimes it's coming from some paradigm that has nothing to do with him. It's something in my psyche or some area that needs to be healed. That's why this show is called Wounded No More, because it really is a work. It is a everydayly work, because it's not just him dealing with you mentally, him dealing with you spiritually as well as physically, but he's going to deal with those thought processes. And you're never stuck. You're empowered to come up out of them, but a lot of times God has to show you where this crap comes from, where this stuff comes from. It doesn't come from him. And so we have to continue to say, I got to believe the truth. I got to trust God. I got to, not be so quick to be led by my five senses or what somebody else spoke over me. And why is that such an influence versus the word of God? If you're reading scripture and you want to understand something, but you realize your thought processes are cloudy, begin to ask the Lord to give you clarity so that you can have more faith and believe what the word is saying, and that you don't just get to check a box because you read the scriptures today. And nothing has changed in your thought processes. Nothing has changed in the areas of your soul. How you see somebody or how you see yourself hasn't changed. So what's the point? like I read in James. What's the point? So we have to live intentionally, and I know. And so when I read the word or when I'm listening to a song that's ministering to me, it's giving me a perspective or insight that I didn't have before, right? And so I don't read the Bible anymore or read scripture or study the word of God or any or read anything else inspirational without having a purpose. So if I get into this mode where I'm just doing stuff just to be doing stuff, he's like, okay, your faith is being eroded right here. Let's sit in this and think about this. Think about your love walk. Think about how faith. Think about these areas of unbelief. Don't get all twisted up and doing the things that I have told you to do, but you do them in faith, and you don't get distracted, and you have focus. So this was also creating a focus issue with me, my unbelief. So as I begin to look at these scriptures, I realized I was easily distracted, overanalyzing things, and procrastinating all the time about a certain decision I had to make. And it all stems from unbelief and not trusting God. I'm telling you. And so I wanted to enlighten you all today. Remember Jesus when he told Jairus, his daughter, Jairus came to Jesus, and this is in Mark 5. And he was, you know, going through the crowd and got to Jesus and finally wanted his daughter to be healed. Well, one of the messengers from his house caught up with Jairus and said, your daughter has died. And immediately Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, of course, fear would grip him. His daughter has just died. And he was coming to Jesus because his daughter was sick, but she had already died. And Jesus had to throw everybody out of the room just to heal her because of people's levels of unbelief. And that made me think, too, about just trusting God no matter what it looks like. Your faith is already intact. Many times our faith is right there where it needs to be, and we allow ourselves to get distracted or whatever your issue is. Mine, like I told you, were three, procrastination, overanalyzing. And there's another one, but there were three of them. And he was coming for all of them that day, and he dealt with me. And all these three scriptures reference and was uprooting things out of me, to be honest, so that, you know, you can't have victory over things you don't understand what's going on with you, where you're in the dark. The word is light, truly. And when God began to take time that day and open up the scriptures to me and say, this is you, okay? You're that man in the crowd who said, well, Jesus, you know, I heard about, can you heal him? He said, what do you mean? All things are possible. Yes, I can heal him. That's what I do. He knew who he was. Jesus wasn't struggling. But even though this man had known this, Jesus had a reputation, people get so connected and so emotionally bound by their issues that that also will erode your faith. You stop believing what the Lord has said to you because you're so entrenched in the circumstance that you're looking at, right, or the issue. Mm-hmm. It takes over your whole body if you let it. And Jesus had to remind him, with me, all things are possible. Like, that's not even a question. You know, claiming to have faith without works or evidence. So just when God is telling you to walk out on faith and be like Peter and walk on the water, you know, not just something cute he's saying or a novelty, it's like you want to do something. Okay, get to doing it, but not to say I checked the box, not to be in the works, because your faith is being developed. You're being developed. It's drawing you closer to the Lord. It's giving you an insight that you didn't have before, and it really is taking the scales off your eyes, depending on what you're dealing with, and then you'll be able to hear as well. So it helps your focus. So deal with your unbelief today, especially knowing that we're wounded no more warriors.
Amen.
That's what I like to say, wounded no more warriors. And because of that, we don't have time to be deaf and dumb, right? If anything
right.
is obscuring our vision, if anything, we got to address it quickly. Let the Lord take time with you. This was over a two-day thing that he did with me, and he would just give me scriptures. And he said, go back to the first one I gave you. What are you hearing? And I would just keep hearing different scriptures and different examples of us being people. And then realizing I had a Holy Spirit, okay, They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus was still with them. And so there were different things that he knew he was going to see, but he still addressed their unbelief. He still addressed their faithlessness, like he was saying, you know, how long am I going to put up with this? And so we have to do with, like the Proverbs said, don't leave, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not part of it,
That's right.
And lean not unto your own understanding. So me overanalyzing is me leaning to my own understanding. Me procrastinating is leaning to my own understanding.
Getting distracted
is me leaning to my own understanding.
Okay.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be totally committed and intentional to doing things God's way and having his heart and his mind. So whatever is in your way today, if you can get down to why you think you're struggling with unbelief about a certain situation, that you can't see, that you can't hear, that you have no focus, that you're confused about, just go, first of all, I always start with the Word of God.
Amen.
Go to the Word of God. The specific day I was getting these scriptures, I wasn't studying the Word of God. I was praying about what's my problem. What is my issue? So he said, this is your issue. He didn't begin to throw darts at me like a dart on a dart target. He began to give me the word. The word cleanses. And it purifies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so beginning, the way that God was just taking this apart for me was almost like a mom would cut up a food for a child. Thank you, Lord, for that analogy. That's a perfect analogy. He began to take something that was big or something that seemed like I couldn't chew on it, and he began to cut it up in small pieces so that I
Amen.
Could.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And that's just how awesome. And even in that act of God, like I said, the analogy, cutting up my food in small pieces, is how he loves us. That's how he loves
me. Yes,
and that was nutrients for me. He said, you know, take a little bit and just enough. You're not going to choke on it. You know what I mean?
Oh, taste and see
and
that the Lord is good.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, you can get this and you won't choke on it, and it's going to help you in the days to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you all to be encouraged and understand that any area of unbelief, any place of small faith, you know, let God deal with you at the soul level, which has to do with your will, your mind, and your emotions, so he can uproot some things. When God begins to uproot things, guess what he's coming for? He's coming for cycles to be broken.
Yes.
And patterns to be broken.
Amen.
And they really will. And you'll be able to pray and live and walk in a place of faith that you didn't before. He began to address you at this level. Now, sometimes God will deal with me for weeks and months, but this particular day, I humbly came to him, and I wasn't whining, and I wasn't, you know, being emotional. I was just, like, intently seeking the Lord's answer, like, what is my deal? Like, what's going on? And he began to show me, and perfect love cast out fear. So you remember how the man was afraid because Jairus had heard his daughter had died, and he said, you're not. Don't be afraid. Only believe.
Mm-hmm.
That piece right there, too, helps me. Because when God tells me to do something and I begin to feel fear, he's like, uh-uh. No, don't fear. You got to do this in love. Faith and love walk together, right? So perfect love casts out fear. So let's continue to go on with this. I got to show you something. So the moment that you begin to have fear, it shuts down stuff. Reason, you become irrational, you're trying to hide. You know, anytime you feel fearful, or you're running, you know, or you freeze. And so sometimes, in this case, I wasn't really dealing with fear, but there have been cases in the past that I have dealt with, and I would be like froze. I wouldn't do anything. Or I'd be running. Or I try to talk myself out of it. So all these things psychologically, God has shown me how spiritually it works the same way. You know how they talk about fear, flight, and fight. Or you fighting. Who do you think you're fighting? When God tells you to do something. So he showed me how that works in the spirit till we do that same thing with him. Fear, flight, fight, run, try to negotiate. But these are the things that get in the way of our faith being developed. Amen. And because
Amen.
That happens to us, we find ourselves maybe 5 or 10 years down the line or even longer struggling with stuff. And we like, what is, how come I'm still in this spot? Or how come I can't see beyond a certain perspective? Like I'm still stuck here. And even when you begin to see, we're intelligent people. And so I believe that the body of Christ or those who are totally surrendered to the will of God, we're very, very bright. But I'm going to tell you what'll stunt your intellect is unbelief. We're problem solvers. We have great mindsets and great and can think intellectually. But lack of faith and unbelief, our unbelief will shut that down. We'll shut it down. So I just thank God to be able to teach this tonight because I thank him for, you know, additional revelation that he gave me in studying this. And I know there's more to come. I know there's more to come.
Amen.
I'd like to end with prayer because Bishop has admonished me and said, if you're going to teach something, pray about it. Pray over and do
yes.
that. And she's right. So we are a people of prayer. And I do believe, just like it started with me, praying, revelation came, and God began to speak to my heart and gave me the scriptures and gave me the lesson, began to break up, follow ground. So, Lord, I thank you right now today for your amazing, amazing purposes that you have in our lives and how amazing your character is. It's just awesome. And as we begin to go forward, Lord, in your word, I just thank you what was spoken tonight through your word and through many examples.
Yes.
That your people, Father God, will be encouraged tonight to deal with their issues with you, of the soul. Things that give them the wrong perspective about themselves and about you especially. I thank you, Lord, today for infusing them with strength and courage and energy and refreshment and focus to be still and know that you are God in the situation. That we can't just say I have faith or tell somebody else to have faith when we are should be empowered to help or to move forward in some kind of way. I thank you, Lord, today I come against the spirit of fear, dull hearing,
yes,
and blindness spiritually. I thank you, Lord, today that we begin to look to you, Lord, knowing that you are the light and you are healer of all things. And some of us, Lord, that you need to break up hard places in our lives. So we can
yes,
become tender towards your people and towards you especially so that people can, so we can continue to be the light and the salt of the earth. I thank you, Lord, today for this opportunity. I thank you for Spirit Alive Network and all the leaders and everybody involved in this ministry
yes,
and,
thank you,
and our para ministries as well that is connected to this show.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for Bishop Cook. Thank you for all that you're continuing to do and for the rest of this program, Lord. I bless your name and I thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen. What a rhema word we heard on tonight. Hallelujah. Prophetess, my prophetess, pastor, teacher, sister, friend, you brought it tonight. Amen. So, you know, the way what I heard you say, my dear sister, is the way that we overcome unbelief is by with unwavering faith. And what is
yeah.
unwavering faith, saints of God? It is trusting God more than you trust yourself in all things
right.
and at all times. So and one of the ways that you can develop that unwavering faith so you won't procrastinate, so you won't be fearful, is to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to convict you of God's word. You know, we
okay.
hear a lot of people say, oh, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Yes, he does do that. But he also teaches us that word. He convicts us of that word and allows and helps us to understand that it is the truth.
Amen.
And it is a process. But you have to go to him, pray to him for understanding. As Sister said in the scripture, and the scriptures has declared, pray to the Holy Spirit to help you in your unbelief. Hallelujah. Ask God to help you to develop an unwavering faith. See, that's one of my things is that, you know, I got past a lot of stuff simply because I'm stubborn. And once I know that I know something, I won't budge. And the yeah. only thing that I know that I know is the Word of God. So, you know, at this point, if God speaks, I'm moving. I don't care what nobody says, what nobody thinks, because I will tell them when God was talking to me, it wasn't a conference call. Excuse me.
You know, that's right.
I got to do what my Father says, you know. And you know, so I loved how you talked tonight because you truly encourage God's people. And if you're in the studio and you would like to let Prophetess know that she encouraged your heart, kindly press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number because, you know, it got me, this message got me stirred up. I said, you know, like you said, like James said, faith without works is dead. And when he's talking about works, honey, he's talking about the trusting part. The believing part. Because if you trust something and believe it, you're going to do it without fail.
That's right.
So
that's
if
right.
you trust and believe God's word, you're not going to waver. You're going to do it. You're going to do it, and you're going to be, as Prophetess Vanessa said, you're going to be effective. You're going to be productive. And you're going to do it all with the love and the grace of the Lord. You will not have to pull your hair out. You will not be falling out with fits. Oh, my God. You know, you're dealing with your people or so, you know, this or that. No. If you just trust God, if you get out of the way, get out of your own head, stop overanalyzing, stop thinking you know better than God. The one who created you, the one who knows every hair or how many, the number of hairs on your head. And just trust him. Trust him and believe. As she said, we only have one job, and that's to believe. And the sin that we're being saved from is our unbelief that God exists, his son Jesus, to die for our
That's
sin,
right.
and he rose.
That's right.
Okay. So you need to know, if you truly believe that Jesus died, came and he died and he rose for the remission of sin, and that we are saved by grace and the shedding of his atoning blood, his redeeming blood, then the least you could do. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the renewing of your minds, to get into this word. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you from glory to glory. And he will truly, indeed, walk you from from the land of unbelief and you can find yourself right there. In Hebrews, and in what I call the Hall of Faith, with Abraham and Sarah, and you know all the rest of the saints that believe. So I praise God for this lesson, Prophetess Vanessa. Thank you so very much, and it is so timely because people are getting caught up in what their eyes see, their ears hear, and they act like all of a sudden God's word has lost its meaning, it has lost its power,
right.
it has lost its truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But please remember, my brothers and sisters, that is only a ploy from the enemy of our faith, who is Flathead Satan. Okay. So fear not, fret not. God says that 365 times in his holy word. Fear not, fret not, worry not. So he means that thing. We want to do things in God's timing, but some of us use the phrase, oh, you know, I just don't want to get ahead of God. Some of us use that as an excuse not to step out on faith and do what God told us to do and has been telling us to do. So, of course, we always want to do things under the will of God, and because we're doing it for him. But, you know, like my sister said, we can't overanalyze. We can't be afraid. We can't keep procrastinating, because when we do that, we let our fear win out instead of our faith. So, Prophetess mm-hmm. Vanessa, thank you for this very, very well-planned and well-taught lesson on our unbelief. And I pray that, and I stand in total agreement with your prayer, and I just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you pour back into this mighty servant all that she has poured into us on tonight. Lord, refresh her, restore her, hallelujah. And Lord, reward her for her obedience. I thank you, Lord God, for her heart set and her mindset. I thank you for her transparency. Lord God, I thank you that she truly keeps it real and she truly emulates healing in word and in deed. So, Father, we just praise your holy name right now. Amen. You have been listening to Wounded No More, and I do mean Wounded No More, with Prophetess Vanessa Carver. And I pray that you will continue to walk with her on the Spirit Alive Network. You will truly be blessed. You will be healed. She will show you how to allow God to restore you. Hallelujah. So please continue to walk with her and all the wonderful servant leaders here on the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. This Saturday, please join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit, and he airs at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hallelujah, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. And if you have no place to worship, you are always welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. There is no, as you know, there will be no fashion shows. There are no offerings. There will be nothing but the Word of God and a whole bunch of love. So come on out and join us every chance you get, and we'll be glad to see you. So once again, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm so glad and so thankful all of you took the time to tune in with us tonight, and we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household of faith to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, beautiful prophetess. You did awesome.
Take care. Thank you.
You too.